rose from the dead?
Jesus.
That's it. That's it right there. And why did he rise?
For me.
For me.
To live in me. To live in you. That's why he rose. So he didn't just rise so he could conquer death. He conquered death for you. And he was buried for you. And he rose for you so he could live inside of you. So it isn't just that he conquered death. That's what most ministers emphasize, the empty tomb. But the reason the tomb is empty is because the occupant now fills you.
Amen.
The reason the tomb is empty, why they found the tomb empty, which is pretty strange, because obviously the disciples didn't take it because they didn't even believe he was risen, even when they were told. And the reason that the Roman soldiers didn't do it, they have no interest in Jesus rising from the dead. It's ridiculous. And the Jews didn't take it because they could easily have produced the body. That's called habeas corpus. I have the body. So they didn't want to give the whole thing away. And so they had no interest in Jesus being their boss, being Lord over them. But Jesus rose from the dead to live in you. He didn't even need to show himself to the world because he would reach the world through us. He would reach the world through us. So if the world hasn't yet been reached, and it hasn't, it's because we haven't yet caught on to why Jesus rose from the dead. Yeshua, that just simply means Savior. He shall save. Yeshua means he shall save. And so chair 4 is what happened after we just sinned in chair 1 and then sinned again in chair 2. The worst sin is not chair 1, where you break all the Ten Commandments and live a horrible life. The worst sin is not believing in Jesus. So it has nothing to do with the breaking of the Ten Commandments. Jesus is not saving us from, being naughty. He's saving us from keeping a law when he's already kept it. How can you keep what Jesus has already kept? How can you perfect what Jesus has perfected when you've never done anything perfect? You're the sinner. You're the guy that sinned in chair 1, and then your bigger sin was to put a mask on and say, I didn't. That's religion. So what is hated more than anything in the world today is religion. Because it fails to produce nice people. I'm just telling you. They may be nice looking. They may behave. They may look like they're believers, but they're hypocrites and liars. They don't love Jesus with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. That's the sin right there. You don't even know him. You don't even know why he came. He didn't come to make you keep the law. I'm going to say it again. He didn't come to make you behave. Doesn't want you to behave. We have a weird God. It's different than all the other gods. All the other gods want you to shape up and stop being bad. Start being good. Ours is the only God that doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to do that. He sent Jesus to take care of that matter. So it's already done. Everything's prepaid. Amen. Now, if you get a hold of chair 4, and a lot of people do, they get the idea that Jesus died, but they have no concept or clue because the pastors don't preach it or teach it or live it. Now, they have no clue that he doesn't want you to stop at chair 4. Right. It's not a door or a wall. It's just the beginning of a process. And so he wants you to keep going and get filled with the Spirit. Remember I said the empty tomb was empty so that Jesus could fill you with his Holy Spirit. He's not living inside of you, went to heaven. But he sends back the Holy Spirit to live inside of you so you actually could be a new creation.
Amen.
Now, I don't see it. I mean, he's failed. As far as I can see, he's failed by picking us. We were the wrong ones. He should have picked blackguards. He should have picked, wicked people or something. I think he came to save the lost and the evil. But everybody in religion, they always try to turn you into a hypocrite and a liar. So that you always have to say, well, I tried my best. You did not. You never tried your best. How many of that's a lie? You thought that you could do better, but that doesn't mean you tried. You didn't try to do anything. Because he doesn't accept anything less than perfect. So you're out. You're out. You're out. No contest. Everybody, you have to be perfect to go to heaven. You have to be perfect. I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah. It's another thing to live it. Nobody's done it. Ever. Ever. Jesus did it because that's just who he is. And you know what? That could be who you are. You could be what you ought to be. So that it's not an ought. It's an is. In other words, turn the subjunctive mood into the indicative mood. That is, indicative mood, the present active indicative, is the most real of all grammar. It's the most real tense. It's the most real. It's the most real form. So if you want subjunctive, that's really iffy, because that's subjunctive. So that means you ought to, you should, but it has nothing to do with reality. And that's how all of the witchcraft that's in the world today, and I'm not going to go into that, but all the witchcraft in the world today is due to the fact that Christians weren't Christian. They made a promise and they never kept it. And so they invent all kinds of things without God because they know you don't have a God, because they can see by your life, you're not a Christian. You don't even believe what you're talking about. You're talking a talk, but you're not walking it. So men don't see your good works, and so they don't glorify your Father which is in heaven. Kind of simple. So, let judgment begin with Obama. No. Let judgment begin with Donald Trump. No. Let judgment begin with, you know, whatever. No, it doesn't. It doesn't begin with them. It begins with his church. The only one he's after is us. We're the only ones that never caught on that 4 was supposed to lead to 5, was supposed to lead to 6, which would then get us to 7. So that then we could live in eternity forever. 8. I put out 8, but I don't have a card on 8. It's there. Jesus is sitting there. You can't see him, but he's there. Now, what does God want? Well, the first thing he wants is, let's read his book. You know, the way I became a Christian is not by behaving. I never behaved. I never wanted to, and I never did. I could superficially fake it, but I knew I was faking it the whole time. I deliberately lied. I deliberately stole. I deliberately cheated. I deliberately did it all. Deliberate. Conscious. I was never like, oh, did I do that? I always knew what I did. You know, even with Peggy, you know, because she's kind of gullible. And she just believed what I said, and she knew it was a lie, but she had to try to figure it out because religious people do that. Peggy was very religious. She was the chair number 2. So chair number 2 marries chair number 1. Uh-oh. All of a sudden. Uh-oh. And God got a hold of me because he loves sinners. He doesn't love chair 2 because they're not people. Chair number 2 is not a person. It's not person. It's just a 1 looking like a 2, but not a 2 at all. Because they never did anything they said. They just behaved. That's called hypocrisy. Just put on a mask. Anybody can do that, Addison. Anybody can fake it and say blah, blah, blah. But the wicked will know. If a wicked person changes, they'll know. I know that was God. No way you could do that. You know, and so Peggy watched me, and she never believed that I really was the real thing anyway, but because I used to just do all kinds of bad stuff. But even when I became a Christian, she still didn't believe in it. Because, you know, well, yeah, but nah. So, always behind every man that's successful is a woman that knows he couldn't make it. It's just that's just the way it is. And I love it. And so, I have the perfect wife. Perfect. Perfect. I had a real rotten life, but I never paid attention to it. You know, when you can steal, what do you care if you're poor? If you can lie, what do you care if you go to school? If you can cheat and, you know, con people and so on. And I'm a superb con artist. I am. I could do it in a second today. It just nothing for me to do it. I fall into it so easily. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
From fellow, you know, travelers. Okay. Now, sinners, these are the ones God loves. Why? Because that's all he's got. Those others are liars. So he never says to the Pharisees, hey, you guys are doing some good, but no, not perfect. He's never saying that. He just calls them hypocrites and snakes and liars and, you know, every other, you know, term in the book.
Right.
It isn't that he doesn't love them. He loves them so much that he's telling them the truth. You guys are liars. You're not making it. You're not happy either. You guys are miserable. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I was one of these right here, and I was happy sinning. I loved cheating, lying, stealing. I never had a guilt. Never. And in my wildest imagination, I can't imagine why I'd ever be ashamed of who I was or what I was doing. I was proud of myself. I got all the way to Yale. That cheating stuff works. That's awesome. Now, that has a lot to do with my mafia background and my poor white Irish trash background. But I never cared. I didn't care who I was. I'm going to steal from you before you know it, so it doesn't really matter to me because I'll get everything you have sooner or later. I had ambition galore. Yes, a lot of it, because I was a nothing and I knew it. And I knew I'd never make it. I was not going to amount to a hill of beans, and I knew that. But if I lie, cheat, and steal, I might get away with it. They might catch me, but they might not. And so I enjoyed thinking of all the wicked things I could possibly do to get ahead. Has anybody else ever done that here? I don't know if anybody wants to admit that, but I admit it because I'm amazed that this thing works. That if Jim does nothing and Jesus does everything, it works. I don't know why that works. Is Jesus came and he looked at the hypocrite and said, I don't want you to think that hypocrites are what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a hypocrite. I'm coming back for the bride. And here's a dirty person right here. But this person is not hiding it. I mean, God knew everything I did and thought and said. I could never get him to partner up with me, but he was completely into it. And I never thought that what I was doing was good. I knew there was good and evil, and I did the evil, and I chose it. And I chose it again and again and again. So how did I get out? I didn't. I never got out. Jesus got me out. How did he do that? He broke me with his love. Like, what do you love me for? I'm no good. Don't even put me on your team. I'll ruin the whole team. I know how to do it. And, you know, I don't have anything going for me anyway. So, you know, why should I ruin your little deal? Because it's not working, by the way. Just want you to know you got a lot of hypocrites, a lot of liars. They're not happy. I don't see any love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, you know, meekness and self-control. I don't see that. I read it in your book. You shouldn't have written that book. You should not have put that book out because that's a sure standard against which I judged all other Christians as phony, fake liars. And there's one thing I knew as a wicked person. I'm not going to be like that. I never, you know, I may be wicked, but I'm not going to be a phony and a fake and a liar. Well, now I am. No, I'm not. I'm actually the real thing. You know why? Because total trust in Jesus. I totally believe that Jesus had in mind that he could take a sinner, skip over the hypocrite, cause him to repent. Now, here, everybody gets this wrong. Repent does not mean stop sinning. Repent means your sin is your unbelief. But I've come to make a promise to you, not put a law on you. I'm not after getting you or making you behave. So I can work with you. I can't work with this one because they think they know everything. They think they're religious. They think they're moral. They got these fig leaves on them. They think they're not naked, but I can see right through them. But you're open. You look like a devil. You act like a devil. You're a devil. So there was no problem with me. So I knew, man, I can't imagine God would love me. He's got that apple. I'll eat it. I'll just eat that apple right off the bat. So I know there's probably one or two others in the room here today who also lived wickedly and did it consistently and gloriously like I did. Willis, I'm thinking of you. And so, you know, And Karen? Yeah. Nice. Nice person. Nice. Is that the truth, Addison? I love it. So I got two. But I would say most Christians in church, church-going religious people, Christians particularly, are hypocrites. Now, the only problem with that is that you're just going to be legalistic then in chair number six. Pretend like you're a lover when you only love yourself. You're going to lie about it. You're going to pretend, and everyone's going to watch you as though you're a Christian, and there's supposed to be some fruit, some Jesus coming out of you, and it's just you. Just kind of washed up, fixed up, little mask over you. And when they're with you, they can feel something else. They can see something else. They can smell something else. So I always was what I was. And most people never caught me because these hypocrites, it's so easy to deceive them. Religious hypocrites are easy to deceive. So I was never intimidated or thought, oh, I'd like to be nice like that person. I never wanted to be like anything. Now, let's read the scripture of the resurrection Sunday morning, 2,000 some years ago. Let's read what it says. This is good. All right, John 20. All right. The first day of the week. How many know the first day of the week is Sunday? We don't count it. We think Monday's the first day of the week because we're thinking of work. And not only that, but we think Sunday starts everything. Well, you're right, actually. You actually are right. God created the world Sunday. God brought down the Ten Commandments Sunday. God made the priesthood Sunday. Everything that God did that was new started on a Sunday. Everything. And he'll probably come back Sunday. I'm just saying, when anything is done new, I don't care what it is, it's a Sunday. It's called the day after, or the morrow after the Sabbath. Okay, so it's after Saturday, Friday night thing. It's after that. Okay, anyway, on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Boo, you know. Mary Magdalene is a naughty, naughty girl, but she became like me. She was wicked as all get out, but she became like me, demonic and so on, a nice person through Jesus, because he loved her. He loved her not as she ought to be, these people think they are, but as she really is. And she just came as she was. You looked at her, you could tell. She's a harlot. She's a naughty woman. She's out for herself. She's selfish. She's totally proud, egocentric, and so on and so forth. And the problem is she's not happy. So Jesus loved her, just as she was, without one plea. You see that? So she's the first one to come. Isn't that interesting? She that been forgiven much, loveth much. Ha! Isn't that interesting that bad people are actually better Christians than good people? Because good people are liars, and they don't want to admit that they're not as good as they pretended. And some of them will last a whole lifetime, even on their deathbed, they won't ever admit they sinned, because they want to go to heaven by their good works. I'd never get there. I've never had one, and I'm never going to get one. And anything good come out of me, that was definitely Jesus. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. I'm so devious that, you know, we had a ladies' prayer meeting in Fort Worth. They're all dead now, so they can't speak up and say anything. But it was all older women who were 70s and 80s and so on and so forth. And they're all gone. But anyway, I used to be the advisor for that group. And they loved me because I was so spiritual. It was all fake. It was fake. I'm not saying I wasn't a Christian. I'm just saying it was totally fake. Because I'm thinking of cookies or something afterward, but I'm giving this prayer, and they're thinking, he is so sincere. And they love me. I mean, they love me, and I ate it up. And I ate up the food they brought also. And so, I'm sorry to say that, but that's how devious I am. But anyway, that's one of my milder ones, so I can share it. But sinners, and this is the only religion like this, God loves sinners. Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous, too, self-righteous. I came for sinners, people that are sinners. who repent. But what's the repentance? Not stop sinning and start doing right. You know, you get rid of that. You stop that. You start doing what you're supposed to do. That's not a Christian. That's a fake. A phony. A liar. That's why I got up in 1980 or whatever, Peggy, no, 70 or whenever it was. And I just told the church, hey, by the way, I'm a complete phony and fake and a liar. I don't know if you want that in your pastor or not, but that's what you got. So you got a chance here to get rid of me or to stay and be an idiot. So there's your choices. But I'm staying, I'm sticking out. This is a great job. They pay me here. David, I don't think David was there. I'm sure he wasn't there the day that I did this. But were you there?
It was 71.
I think you were in
71.
You were up in Oklahoma or something?
No, where, not that story.
He was a little kid then,
so. Oh, he was a little kid. Well, he didn't know any better.
You're talking about 1971.
Okay.
Wow.
71. Yeah. So, and I just told him the whole truth. I said, by the way, I'm a hypocrite, a liar, phony, fake, so on and so forth. And when I leave here at church, I don't go home and read my Bible or pray. I play tennis, read books, play golf. I mean, that's what I like doing. And I love this job. You work 1 hour a week and you get paid like the whole week. I mean, this is awesome. You guys are saps. And I just told them the whole truth. And none of you are Christian either. You're all hypocrites and liars. And some of you are just wicked, but I know who you are. So if anybody here thinks you're a real Christian, please stand up on your chair right now because I'm going to examine you. Because I have good head knowledge, but I have no, you know, heart knowledge at all. I'm not in love with Jesus at all. I'm just doing this because it's easy. It's a real piece of cake. Anyway, so I said, here's what I've decided. I've decided I'm going to go hunt around the world. I'll go anywhere in the world till I find a Christian. It may not be one, but I'm going to go out and look. And I'll go anywhere, everywhere. And so I called these sisters up in Germany. I was going to go. And they said, no, don't come here. Why don't you go to Phoenix? I think Scottsdale, but is that outside Phoenix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't you go to Phoenix? We have 13 sisters living there who are like us here. And there was like, I don't know, 100 or something living in Germany. And so when I met them, I became a Christian. This is amazing. But I'll tell you, I didn't do anything. They didn't know who I was at all. They thought I was a pastor. Because I was. That was my title. But I was actually a conniving, selfish, out for myself kind of person. And I spotted them right off and criticized them and so on in my mind. You know, it's like, these ladies are legalistic. They're too weird. But I like it that they stick to the Bible. Because I'm always into intellectual honesty. I mean, I could be honest all day long. I've called up great theologians and authors and told them, well, I don't believe anything. Well, at least you're honest. I would say, is that all you've got to say? I'm telling you, are you the real thing? Or are you a phony? I was ruthless. Now, I love doing that with my professors at Yale. I've told you I had a Harvard scholarship, so I could have done anything I wanted. Heidelberg, Germany. I had all the scholarships galore. Because I cheated. I was good at cheating. And so I decided one day I think I'll stop because I might get caught. And if you get caught, that's not a good thing because I won't have any more freedom to cheat and lie and steal. So I think I'll just become a white-collar mafia. That's what I'm going to become. And that was a real decision on my part. And I'm going to start reading for the first time. I never read a book until I was a junior in college. I'm telling you all this because of the resurrection. Jesus did not come to hate sinners. He came to forgive them. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
He was looking for me. Jim, you are perfect. You're just what I'm looking for. You need help, buddy. You need help. I know you're not happy because you got everything, but you know it's going to hit you one day. Everyone's going to catch you. You ever done anything wrong and wondered about that? Well, I did. And I always took. I was happy-go-lucky. Take my chances. Take a risk. I don't care. Big salesman. It's easy for me. I lie. I can lie easily. Like if there was a crack in the foundation, I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd just put some stuff over it or something. So, no, that was just a... Anyway, my point is that I just wanted to win. At first, I just wanted to survive. Has anybody just been a survive? How can I survive in this, you know, alligators and snakes and kind of world? How can I survive? I'm like them. And I can understand the mafia easy. Not hard. Because if they say they're going to do something, they do it. They're not like the rest of us, kind of hypocritical, like the South. Down here, the mafia, even the mafia down here may or may not do it. They might be drunk that night or something. But in Chicago, oh man, they just kill you. That's it. And all my family was that. So my mother slept around. My grandmother had four or five husbands and blah, 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 blah. All I'm trying to say is you can grow up lousy and become a Christian. That's amazing to me. I still delight in it. I still delight in it. But if you received Christ Jesus as a sinner and jump over this guy right here and come right here to repent, start believing that God is good.
Amen.
But that was easy for me because I was all objective. There was nothing subjective about me. I never read the Bible to become a Christian. I read it so I could fool the people. That's it. That's it. But I was proud of my scholarship, so I'd like to throw in existentialism or, you know, whatever. Throw all kinds of big words and so on. But I found out the people didn't know what I was talking about down here in Texas. They didn't know. They didn't know those big words. Heilsgeschichte and all this stuff. I knew all these languages and, you know, just concepts. And did you know that you do better in life if you have a lot of degrees? I had a bunch. Just to show off. I never had a humble attitude. I just wanted to show off. And then I realized it wasn't working that hot. Not because people caught me, but because I didn't have any goods. I knew that even though I know all this stuff, intellect is just head knowledge. But I don't have any heart knowledge at all. So one day I just got up and told the church, by the way, I'm a fake, phony, liar, always have been, probably always will be. But I just thought I'd give you a warning, and then I'm going to travel around the world and try to find a Christian somewhere, because none of you are. You're all phony and fake like me, only you're liars. That's the only difference. So if you want to stay, you can. Everybody stayed except two families, the Fierkas and the Balds. They were the only two. Balds. What is it, Balds? Yeah. They were the only two that wanted to leave. So fortunately, I had a list with me of phony churches you could go to. That you could go here and go here. You'll be fine. You'll be happy. And they took them, and they did. They went to those churches. It was great. What a good person I was. But anyway, so I fell in love with Jesus, though, because I understood here, all he was saying in repent was change your mind. Stop thinking I hate sin, but I don't hate sinners, and you're a sinner, and I love you. These guys are lying. And so, though I love them, they don't have ears to hear or eyes to see, but you do because you know you're no good. But yeah, that's true. I agree totally. I never argued with God. And then I had faith in Jesus from repenting, not of my former sins, but repenting of my not knowing Jesus had this good offer. Man, this was a good offer that a sinner could actually change by doing nothing. And he did all the changing. He resurrected from the dead, and he did all this stuff. He died for the wicked and was buried for me and everything. I thought, that is a good offer. That is hard to, because he's taken me just as I am without one plea. Isn't that amazing? We all sing it, but we actually believe we're a little better than other people who are just as they are. But anyway, I believe that I was as rotten as anyone could be, and I liked it. I liked being rotten. I know they call them sociopaths, but I was a sociopath. I didn't care if people got hurt or what happened to them. I didn't have any love. I wasn't warm. Didn't love Peggy. I didn't love anybody. I just loved me. That's all. Is anybody else like me? Yes? Yes? Alex, you can't be. You're always smiling. That's hypocritical and phony. So anyway, here's why, if you come and you realize that here's what you repent of, not that I sinned, but that my sin was not believing in Jesus, who wanted to give me everything in heaven someday, and then in earth right now too. If with Christ Jesus he also freely gives you all things. That was like, wow, I don't know. That's too much. What do I have to do? How do I have to, you know, earn this? Well, you can't. Well, that's true. Okay. So how do you get it? I died on the cross for you. Okay, good for you. Do I have to be appreciative? Do I have to be sincere? No. I just love you the way you are. That was amazing. It fit me perfectly. It's like, this is the house I want to buy. This is a good deal. No down payment. I mean, it was just my deal. And so then, as I got later, I found out that you were supposed to be discipled. Well, that was a turnoff right there. I don't want to be discipled. I just want this good thing. Here, I'm just going to stay in this faith chair. I love this faith chair. Woohoo! I was just so happy because all I do is believe Jesus was good, and that made me good. I wasn't good, but I just believed Jesus was good, and that made me good. See, that was his idea. I thought he is so stupid. That's the stupidest God I've ever heard of. But I'm buying it. I'm taking it. Do you have any more you can give me? Because I'll take it all. Because I've been working at trying to, you know, get ahead by cheating and lying and stealing. It's a lot easier if I just take your deal. Free gift. Free gift. I kept reading those and underlining them in my Bible. Free gift, you know, just as I am. I love it. But I found out this discipleship thing meant he had a rod to beat me and a staff to guide me. And then if I didn't do the staff thing, he'd rod me again. You know, so, whoa, I don't think I want that one. That was like the electric chair or something. I'm not into suffering at all. I'm into preserving myself. And, you know, that's law of self-preservation, most basic thing to human nature, right? So I wasn't a Christian, but I was a natural, you know, take care of me person. Self-interest only. No interest in others. Not my mother, not my second father, third father, first father. I don't give a rip for any of them. I don't care what they are and what they do. And I don't care for Yale, or I don't care for Harvard. I don't care for anything. I'm just going to use everything I can use to get ahead. Has anybody had that? Because I like to have people here that can identify with a rotten, no good person. Why? Because that's me. And it doesn't make sense. Anybody else try to get there, you can't get there any other way than to be a sinner. I came for sinners. It's like, wow, I'm pre-qualified. I'm totally pre-qualified. I'm ahead. Even when I went to college, it was a Christian school like SMU and TCU and all that stuff. But the first thing they said is, because they were dealing with pietists, chair two, people that pretended like they were Christians but really weren't. And so they were trying to break them down. That's what liberals do. They break down the conservatives, right? Anyway, they were trying to break them down. I was ahead of the game. I never even prayed. I never even talked to God. I never did anything. I'd done everything wrong. I had devious, rotten, no good thoughts in my head all the time. I never had a decent thought in my head. And I thought, wow, this is cool. This guy likes me just the way I am. And that was my favorite song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. And now, I didn't know anything about the new creation thing. I just knew the guy would forgive me no matter what. So here's my theology in the beginning. I sin, he forgives, we're both happy. I do the sinning, I'm a natural. He does the forgiving, he's a natural. I said, like, it's perfect. He's happy about it, I'm happy about it. I sow, he reaps what I sow. And he sows, and I reap what he sows. A good trade. My God, that is a beautiful trade. So he takes my rotten life, and then I get his good, you know, all the rewards he gets and go to heaven kind of thing. I didn't particularly want to go to heaven, but I didn't want to go to the other place. So that did not sound good. It sounded like a dead end. How are you going to be great and have people worship you? That's all I wanted. I didn't want anything else but people to notice me and gasp and worship me. That's about it. Has anybody else ever had that? How great I am! You know, that's all. I just wanted people to notice that. But I married Peggy and she didn't. She never thought I was anything. She kept, you know, checking out from day to day. What a worthless person. She didn't always say it, but I could tell she was not happy when I'd walk in the house or something. Peg, it's me. She had no humor at all. She had no. It wasn't joyful for her. Don't get married right away until you've sorted that out, because you might get a hypocrite. The hypocrites are just liars. I knew how to lie. I was a good liar. But here, Jesus loved me, taught me to repent. Don't become one of these chair two people. I want you to go all the way here to the faith chair, and that's it, faith. But faith is not just in this word that I forgive you, but it's also in this word that I want to change you. Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't think I want the change thing. I kind of want to stay the way I am and just have you forgive me all the time when I mess up. Right? And that's where most people are today in the church. They never go beyond four. So I'm a wonderful pastor in that I'm taking you beyond four into five. So you can be burned up and destroyed.
Yeah. And die.
I tell you, it's awesome. Daily crucifixion. I love that teaching. That's such a lovely teaching, is that you're no good. And you're no good. And you're no good. Because that was me. I knew I was no good. I never argued with that. I never, not even one time in my life did I say, I'm a wonderful person, or I ought to be, or I could be, or I should be. I never had any of those thoughts. I thought, you know, I just need to hide. That's about it. Keep doing what I'm doing. Let God love me. He's a sap. And that's great. That's great. I mean, you know, God's kind of, he's overdoing it with this love thing. I love you just as you are. Yahoo! I can get away with murder. I can keep sinning all the way to heaven, and then at the last minute, I can jump into heaven. I'll get an angel wings or something, and there I'll be, and everyone will, wow, Jim, you look good. It's like, oh, Jim, there you have it.
You say that discipleship to me brings joy.
Yeah.
It does. It's not to be totally dreaded. It's
no. As a matter of fact, it helps the chair too. Discipleship helps the chair too to see that they're not necessarily just a one, but the chair too, I don't need to do that any longer because God loves me just the way I am. That's a great start. If you don't start here, you'll never get here and here. But the only way you can become a lover like Jesus, Christ-like, spirit, soul, and body, in this world, in this world, in this world. The only way you can do that in this world, not in heaven, but in this world, is to go from faith, that's how you start, and when he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead to pay for your sins. So that takes care of all the sins. But then, he wanted to live inside me by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, there's the fire part. I didn't want the fire. I wanted the Holy Ghost with feathers instead of fire. This Holy Ghost, this kind of a friendly guy like Jesus. He was friendly to me. I don't know, this Holy Ghost wants to make me holy. And I feel I'm not the holy type. Hello? I'm not the holy type. I'm just not into pleasing other people. I'm just not into pleasing God. I'm just not into pleasing anybody. Just totally to myself. I love myself. I think I'm awesome. Only in my own eyes is that true, but it works for me. Peg, you just don't know how awesome I am. You know, she never has figured that out. How great thou art. And she does it. I found a scripture that said that Sarah called Abraham Lord. So I said, Peg, this is in the Bible right here. Lord Jim. You could start with that. You don't have to feel it or anything. Just start doing it anyway. Just do it with. And I'll accept it. I'll accept it. She never caught on to that. You know, I don't know why there's a resistance in Peggy that y'all don't know about. But Peggy is not the smiling, nice person she is here. I mean, the real life at home is different. But I love her. I do. How did I do that? I didn't. That was, he filled me. See, he emptied himself here. So that he was dead, so I died. Then he was buried, so he wanted me to be buried, so there'd be no more Jim. That'd be the death of me. And then I could be a lover, because I'm dead to myself. I don't need to love myself, because God loves me, forgives me, and then wants to fill me with his spirit, so I'd be emptied of me, so I'd be an empty tomb, and then I could love and live through Jesus Christ alone. Wow, that was a lot of head, you know, putting in. They didn't teach me that at Yale. That wasn't a book written by Harvard guy. You know, I knew, wow, this is a little weird. This is weird. So I decided to come to Texas. That's the way I could go. And this is where it happened, by the way. So, being selfish, I thought, you know, I don't like all the cold. Yankees are into cold, you know. I like the warm weather where you can get out and do things. February was beautiful. wasn't it? I mean, there were 80s and stuff. It was gorgeous. And then it's kind of rottened out a little bit now, but it'll go back. I know, just wait around a day or two, it'll be nice again. So you can just do things here to your heart's content. And it's big, too, so they don't catch you right away. I mean, I speed all the time still. I am a consummate speeder. And but I think about it. I mean, I'm not, you know, thoughtless. I think about it. I wonder why they don't ever catch me. It's probably because I'm thinking of it every minute while I'm driving. You know, is there anybody on that bridge? You know, I look over the bridges like that. Is there anybody behind me? I look in the mirror, you know. And I'm always thinking about, you know, probably 95 isn't good. It probably isn't good, but I'm going to get there on time because I'm late. And I'm lazy. That's why I'm late. And I'm always making excuses for myself. So I'm totally, totally bad and human, right? That's the one he loves. So he says, don't worry about that, Jim. Just repent. Change your mind on this. I love you just the way you are. Let me die for you. Let me rise for you. Let me reign in you. Let me do it all. Okay, Jesus. Woohoo! Go for it, Jesus. And pretty soon he got me in the fire thing. And I thought I'd hate it. But actually, Janet, what you said is what I found out. That was the best thing ever. He got rid of all the sinful stuff that never gave me happiness anyway. And I started to see, hey, this Jesus guy really is wonderful. Not only does he forgive me, he makes me a new creation. And I don't even look like one. I don't even act like one. I don't even feel like one. I don't even understand what that is. I think I'm just a person. But he says, no, no. You're my beloved. Well, I know, because you forgive me. But no, no, it's not just that I forgive you. I'm going to make you a new creation. Just don't help. Okay, well, that's easy for me. I'm lazy. Okay, I'll probably forget anyway. Peggy can tell you, I forget everything all the time. Peggy, what am I supposed to be remembering right now? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, stay on the ball. You want to get to heaven by works? Do some works. And so now, here's the deal. You can't be a lover until you're dead to yourself. Chair 5.
Amen.
Dead to yourself. Wow, best thing could ever happen. How can you get one of those? You can't. Imagine if I told everybody here today, get dead to yourself today. I'll check back with you tonight. See how you did. It's not going to work. Because people, you have flesh too. Even though you're Christian, you still have your flesh. Mine was obvious. Yours is hidden. You got to find it. Where's that pride? I think I'm humble, and so on and so forth. But I knew mine was right out in the open. I'm an open book. Now, God actually, I believe this is the gospel, that God not only forgives you, but then he changes you, but then he works through you, and then when men see your good works, they glorify your Father in heaven. Wow! How could that be? I didn't even do anything. Good. Because God wants to do it all. So one-stop shopping, you just go here, and then they take care of you here, and then they take care of you here, and it's done. And then the trumpet sounds, boop, you become the bride, boop, and then you go to eternity with Jesus forever. What could be better? He builds a better house than I do, and I'm the house he's building, and you're the house he's building. So therefore, why don't you let Jesus do it? Now, let's read here what it says. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, so that was, you know, like 6 o'clock this morning, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So she was kind of like, whoa, because that's a big stone. That's huge. And she, like, how did that get there? Because the Jews had a guard there, and the soldiers are paid to stay awake. You can see how they'd fall asleep. But still, they were supposed to guard it and keep that thing sealed. But somehow it was open. So here's what happened when she went in there. Then she runneth. She just saw the stone. She didn't even look in, apparently. Then she runneth, or maybe she just glanced in, and comes to Simon Peter. Hey, I'm going to go to the high muckety-muck among the disciples. And to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the guy who wrote this book. And said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. How many know Jesus has to be out of the tomb? He can't stay dead. You know that love never dies. Love can't die. It just keeps going. I love Peggy. with all my heart and soul and strength. Why? This never stops. I don't care what she does or whatever. I'm not her God. I don't want the church to shape up. I don't want anyone here to get cleaned up. Maybe I'd like one of the persons that's here today that only comes on Christmas and Easter to come more often. But other than that, I wouldn't manipulate anybody. I don't know why.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. This is the only times he comes, Christmas, Easter. So we got him now. We'll wait till December. It's going to be awesome. We'll probably take 3 offerings that day to collect up all those back offerings. No, I don't work on people. I don't care. I have no care. You know why? I'm so in love. Why? I love because he first loved me. He loved me just as the way I am. There are probably, as I said, 2 or 3 here who are equally bad as me, or even maybe worse a little bit. Did you want to raise your hands? Oh, man, I underestimated big time. Addison, I know you didn't raise your hand, but you could have. You could have, Addison, you could have. Oh, my gosh. All right. So, faith, then discipleship. That's where everybody gets caught, right there. And then love, so that the world, not, this is not for Christians. Your love to others is you're the salt, you're the light, and it doesn't come from discipleship. It comes from being dead. Then he makes you the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and then men see your good works, and they know it's not you. So they don't glorify you, they glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's amazing. So here he is, he died, bad people killed him, and they were kind of sad, and they didn't really think he was risen from the dead or anything. But this Mary Magdalene, former harlot, she's so excited because she was forgiven much, and she just said, Peter and John, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we don't know where they've laid him, because there were other women. Peter therefore went, and the other's disciple, and they came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, but the other disciple did outrun Peter. So who was the first one to the tomb?
John.
So John was young. He's a young guy, and Peter was not. And they both are running, and they both started out, but John outran him. Now John, what do you know about John? This is Gospel of John, Epistles of John, Revelation by John. What do you know about this guy?
Jesus loved him the best.
He loved Jesus so much, and Jesus loved that John, you know, just always was submissive to it. And so he laid close to his breast, and he could hear. That's how much he loved him. He wanted to hear everything he said, and so on and so forth. That's why John's Gospel is really powerful, because that guy was watching everything, every detail. And so John doesn't go in because, you know, like Peter, he just, well, I just run right in. I love that guy. And he's stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. So that's John. He didn't go in. But you know what? He believed. Without seeing, he just went in. He didn't even have to go in to believe. I know. It's what she said. Just by the word. Listen to this. This is so cool. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes lie. Plural. So, one at the head, one at the feet. So, he saw the linen folded nicely, not any hurry, something didn't happen to him bad. But he saw they were one at the head and one at the feet. And so, wow, he looked at that and said, wow, this is powerful. He's not here, but his clothes are here, but they're folded up. Nobody was in a hurry. This is not some kind of bad thing. This is a good thing. Everything's in order. And the napkin that was, you know, wrapped around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So it was neatly put in some other place. Then went in also that other disciple, John, he's not telling who he is, because he wants to magnify Jesus, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Okay, now, it's hard to say there whether he believed or saw first, but who cares? The point is that both happened, that he saw, wow, just like was said. You can to become a Christian, you have to believe without seeing. But then when you see, it also strengthens your faith. So you can have both. You can do both. And they happen all the time. For as yet they did not know the scripture, because everything's written down. You can't do anything in this world that's not written down. That he must rise again from the dead. When he rises, you rose. His life is your life. Why? Because that's the way love works. Doesn't that make sense? If you love somebody, you care about everything they're doing and not doing. I mean, you just care. You're always thinking of them. So, because he's like that, and Jesus is my love. I am in love. I don't care about pastoring. I don't care about being a good husband or being a good anything. But I do care about one thing. That guy likes me, and I like him for liking me. I've always liked people that like me. Even if they were stupid, didn't know anything about me. I love that, and I never tried to dispel their illusion. If somebody thought I was great, it's like, go for it. Go for it, you know. Because I love it when, you know, people, oh, Pastor Jim's here or something. I love that. And little kids particularly, because they believe that God's in church. And they believe the guy talking up in front is God. So little kids go up and they just look at you. They're just amazed, you know. And so I don't know if David, if you get that or not. It's awesome. It is awesome. Because little kids know when they go, God's going to be there. There he is. I never have told a little kid, I'm not God. I let him just think it. Just to think, go for it. It's wrong. I know I'll probably go to hell for that. All right. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, so that we could rise again from the dead and never die again. We don't have to die now. Then the disciples went away to their own home. But Mary, the bad girl, without at the sepulcher weeping. She was just standing up outside weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, the grave, the tomb, and seeing two angels in white. Where'd they come from? It must be a back door to that tomb. They're all hewn out of the mountainside or whatever. Here they just walk right through, you know, to come out. Hi. Right. And they're just sitting there calm, you know, probably having folded the napkins earlier or something. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They had tossed him in, you know, the day before, just at sundown. And now here, a day and a half later, they're sitting there again. Woman, why weepest thou? This is Jesus talking to her. Jesus can talk to you. Isn't that amazing? He can talk to you. He talks to me. I love Jesus talking to me. I'm not working that. I'm not asking him to do it. I just wake up every morning, I hear him. And I just start reading his word and so on, just going about my business. And all of a sudden, he speaks, and it's over. Once he speaks, I don't need to hear anything or read anything or do anything. I love it. It's just too powerful. And he said to her, because they have taken away... Oh, and he said, woman, why are you crying? She said to him, well, because they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. Now, let's assume she's 110. And she wants the person that's talking to her, Jesus, she doesn't know he's Jesus. She wants him to show her where the body is so she can carry it away. She's only 110, he's probably 215 or something. So she's going to carry him away. It's like, Jesus, you're heavy. Anyway, it's going to be hard for her. But you know, she's all heart. She's all heart. And when she had said this... she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So, how many know? It's just like Peggy, I tell her, Peg, you don't know you're living with a man of God. It's like, it should be awesome. It should be. But, you know, it's just an idea. It's just a thought. But I am an awesome person, really. Why? You know why? Because I'm no good. And you know what? Jesus loves me. And you know what? That's all it takes. Isn't that funny? You do everything wrong, and he loves you. you do what everything you think is right, and he doesn't. You go to hell. You go right to hell. Why? Because you thought your works were pleasing in his sight. No, that doesn't please him. What pleases him is don't do anything. Let him do everything. And then when he says it's all done, it's finished on the cross, it's over.
Yes.
There's nothing more to do. Just take it. Enjoy it. You know, don't be, I don't want to be selfish. No, be selfish. Take it all. Jesus, give me everything you got. He loves it. You enjoyed it. Don't you know that that's what we do at Christmas? We want the kids to be just excited, and they're not thinking, oh, mother bought me this. Isn't she wonderful? They're just thinking, this is awesome. You know, and they're just enjoying themselves, and that makes the parent feel good. Right? Because the child has a smile on their face. And that's it right there. Boy, I'm glad that, you know, I got that for her because it's just what she needed, or he or whatever. That's the way it should be. Peggy doesn't do that. She's pretty much disappointed in the things I get her. One time I got her a vacuum cleaner. And I thought it was cool because I don't like to shop. So I just go in and 7 minutes later I'm out. So this lady was showing these vacuum cleaners, and I was watching for a few minutes. She said, you should get one of these for your wife. Okay, I'll take it. You know, I just took it because, you know, get something and get it over with. And I got it home, and she hated it. She hated that vacuum cleaner. This is not personal. This is not intimate. This is not love. We'll take it back. At least I got something. Can you see how I'm not much of a romantic? Okay. All right. And Jesus said to her, woman, why do you weep? Whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've borne him hence, if you've taken him somewhere, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. It's good. She might have had a wheelbarrow, but I don't think so. I think she just came, you know, to honor him because she loved him. When you love someone, you don't think rationally. I'll say it again. When you love somebody, you don't think in your right mind, right? Because your love is leading you to do stupid things. I'm that way. If Jesus told me to do something stupid, I'd do it. I would. I would do it. Why? Because I trust him. I totally trust him. If it all looks rotten and horrible, I praise God. Well, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Why? Because I don't believe he can do anything wrong. I believe what he said in the book. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I believe also he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. I also believe he said, I always lead you in triumph. I also. I know I got a lot of scriptures that I've memorized. They were all promises. Do you know standing on the promises is better than standing under the law? Standing on top of a promise is a lot better than laying underneath a law or a command. Something, you know, someone expecting me to behave. I'm not a behavior. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She recognized him by the tone of his voice. But she didn't recognize his face because he's resurrected. He's new. He's not. Doesn't look all scarred up and beat up and anything. Jesus said to her, don't touch me, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, my brothers, and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Wow. Do you realize that God is your God? He's not Jesus' God. He doesn't love Jesus more than you. He loves you equal to Jesus. That would change my life. It did. Why would he love me? I've done nothing right. I've never thought a right thing. I've never done anything any good. I've just been a scoundrel, and I've been proud of it too, which you're not supposed to be, but I was. And I never got caught for all my bad stuff, which I was also proud of. That's good. They never caught me. I'm very proud of that. I did bad things, and they didn't catch me. I thought I was clever. That is clever. So, Jesus, when he says, Jim, I'm your God, and I love you, and I'll never leave you. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Amen. Now, should I believe it? No, but I do. I didn't make myself. I just do. I don't know why, but I'm not letting it go. I'm the happiest person on the face of the earth. And nobody happier than I am. To be equal to me, you get me more. I'm totally free, totally, unbelievably relaxed. Peace. I never had that before. I mean, when you're a thief or a robber or a liar or a cheater, you got to think about what was the last lie I made. You do. You have to stay on top of it, because otherwise people catch you. And then bad things happen. But I had never been caught. And I knew I was what they call living on the edge, because I know they're going to catch me one of these days. So I made a little vow one day. Okay, I'm going to start reading books. I'm going to start studying the things you're supposed to study, because I'll get caught one of these days and toss me in jail or something worse. And so I think if you're that smart, you should be smart enough to know that doing bad is not good. And so I did. I cleaned up on the outside. I just learned how to lie better than I did before. And I was more tricky and more devious. Now, don't touch me. Your God, my God. Jesus has to go and show himself to the Father first. Otherwise, she might try to fix him or something. Help him. Oh, look at your wound. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken all these things to her. That same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, because none of the disciples had seen him. And if they don't see him, they don't believe him. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. In other words, they were hiding away and had the door locked. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be to you." Isn't that amazing? Jesus just walks through the wall, walks through the door, you know, whatever. Hi, peace be to you. It's like, that is cool. That is cool to say, don't be nervous. Don't be scared. Don't be worried. I'm here. This is me. Look at me. You know. And so he just shows him to, you know, this is who I am. This is unbelievable in this world. Nobody can believe that. Nobody should. You shouldn't believe it. But that's what happened. That's what the Bible says. I believe it. I believe he really walked through the door and so on. I've tried that. It does not work. You know, I'll walk through that door and I'll show you it doesn't work. You cannot walk through walls and doors. But I believe in the next world, we'll be walking through walls and doors, right? Because you get your resurrected body, because you're a spiritual person rather than a physical person that's limited. Then, when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side, because the hands had nails and the side had its spear go in it. Then were the disciples glad, only then, when they saw the Lord and realized, yeah, this is Jesus. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I now send you." All right. What is it to be sent as an apostle? So we were sent, here to Dallas from Fort Worth. No. I was sent from heaven to come here. So I'm not, I don't think Fort Worth sent me. I just came because I feel God said, go there. And don't ask for anything. Don't look for anything. Just do it. And I believe the best is yet to come. Yeah, don't count. Don't look. I don't count and look, and I don't care. But I believe that this is going to be the place of revival. Big. Huge. Amen. And that it won't be long before the wicked will not be ruling anymore and the righteous will. And it's not a future thing for me. It's a present thing for me. I already see it. I don't need to see it to believe it. I already believe it. Therefore, I see it. Right? When you sell a house, you better see that it's sold before you sell. You know, you don't want to go, I thought you probably wouldn't buy. You go, no, this is your house. This is what you want. Am I right?
Yeah.
You have to visualize it first. You have to look happy when you meet the person and so on. Hey, you're going to love this. And so on and so forth. Now, it might not be as good a house as you said. But you have to be able to lie a little bit to yourself. Say, I probably oversold that one. I got 20,000 more than it was worth. But that's good. That's how business is done. Too bad for the one that paid it. You know. But they're probably Russian anyway, and so, you know, who cares about the Russians? Or they're Chinese people. Or they're Californians. That's who's buying up everything. Everybody, they got a lot of money. They want to get out of their hell holes, wherever they are, and bad policies, and move to Texas. And they know, you get bargains here. I mean, it's a bargain here. They got a little bitty house there, $1 million. But they come here and they get a huge home, and it's only $500,000. They just pocketed $500,000. It's huge. Yeah. Dallas is the place to come. Fort Worth. I mean, it's great. It's a great place to come. Am I right?
You're right.
I'm right. I know I am. It's good. All right. Now, a little bit. We're almost done. So he said, you know, peace to you. And when he had said this, this is the big part. He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Wow. So how did Adam and Eve get created? Just by God breathing. God spoke, the worlds came into being, and then he breathed into the dirt that he formed Adam from, breathed into it, and he became a living spirit. That's where biology comes from, the breath of God for a man. He's not an animal, he's not a plant, he's not a flower or something. This is something living, powerful. So when he breathed into him, now that means man and God can relate to each other. Because he has the breath of God in him. In other words, he kisses. To worship God is proskuneo. It means to kiss God's mouth with your mouth through the hand. Through the hand. Proskuneo means to kiss him with the hand going from mouth to mouth. In other words, talk to him. Live by every word that comes out of his mouth with his kisses. That's how you're alive. And that's how I'm alive today. I'm a new creation. The old creation was made that way when you were dirt, natural. Now the new creation is brand new. It's like nothing's ever been before. You and I, Addison, you're a new creation. Isn't that amazing? You look like the old Addison, but you're not. Why? Just because of your faith. It's just because I read the Bible or heard the Bible and I believe. Is that not amazing?
Yes.
Why did Jesus question? Why did Jesus rise from the dead so that the tomb was empty?
So that he could be in us.
So that he could fill you. So that from now on, through the Holy Spirit, because you're a spiritual being now, you could actually live heaven on earth. That's all God's ever wanted.
Amen.
Just worship him with all your heart and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself. Boom, done. Done. How do you do that? You don't. He does that. He does. That's just a free gift. He just forgives you, first of all, that he changes you, that he works through you. Ah, he did it. I thanked him. That's all I did, but that wasn't a work. I didn't do a work. I just thanked him. Thanks for doing everything. And then I praised him. I praise you for being everything. And then I just fell in love with him because he wants to marry me. So he's my creator. He's my savior. He's my Lord. He's my bridegroom. He's my all in all. It's all over.
Amen.
Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
All right, who wants to testify? Who wants to testify? This is Resurrection Sunday. I just want you to know that you cannot be born except to die, except to be resurrected. You never die to die. You die only to be resurrected. But you can't be resurrected until you're dead, but you can't be dead until you're born. So the reason you're born is to die. And the reason you die is to resurrect. You're the new creation.
Yes.
You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are God's people. Who else has a testimony? Karen.
I feel the Spirit of Christ in me every day, more and more. I die every day.
It's too powerful. It's sweet. It's simple. It's powerful. And you know, you don't have to fix this message up. It's just plain old whatever's in the Bible. And it is not a new, there's not a new story. This is just the old, old story. But it works. I tell you, try anything else, it won't work. This is the only good news in the whole world.
Amen. Amen.
Who else? I saw somebody over here.
You know, I just want to identify with what you and Janet were saying about the joy. Whenever, even though it doesn't make sense in my mind, I know God's shown me for
right.
The Highland Park thing is for real. And every time I go in there, it's like a vacation. It's between me and Jesus.
Good.
I get to lay my head on Jesus'
word. Amen. No, I like it. It's good. It's sweet. He's willing to be a fool and to go around praying for Highland Park and so on, which dearly needs it. But it actually is doing something. It's bigger than, you know, who cares what people say? Who cares what people think? I'm going to do what God said. Let's say you were wrong. So what? Who cares about being right or wrong? Why don't you just be faithful? I may have been wrong, but I was at least did what I thought I was supposed to do. Okay, I was wrong. There's nothing, you don't have to be right. What you have to be, he'll do all the right. What he wants is just to work with you and just you submit to him and just trust him. Just believe what he says. And then you'll do what he does because he's in you to will and to do. He's in you to will and to do. Who else? Who else? Cynthia. Oh, you were just yawning?
I was just yawning.
Yeah. Well, say something good about Jesus.
Shall we? I mean, yeah, Jesus is in my heart every day. And I pray every morning. I thank him every day. I can feel the love in him now that I've never felt before. Ever.
That's powerful.
I'm grateful every day.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love it. I love it. That's powerful. Who else?
There's a little word there, peace to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Good. You got peace. Peace does not mean what you think it means. Peace is shalom in Hebrew. It means to be perfectly lined up, spirit, soul, and body, those three chairs. Perfectly lined up with God. The sinner obviously is not. And the hypocrite obviously is not. The repentant person, if he thinks you have to start doing something good and stop doing something bad, he's wrong. That's not shalom. But if you get it down, clearly, it'll lead you to life everlasting, eternal life, now. Not in the world to come. Now. You can actually experience eternal life. Not in whole, not all, but in part. Enough to have a full and abundant life right now. I came that you might have life and life for someone else. All right. Well, happy resurrection. Oh, yes.
I just wanted to say this right. It's like...
Randy.
That because of certain things that have gone on over the last month and a half, or actually a little bit longer, there have been some important changes in our life, you know, especially in mine. And there are some things that are still that are coming up. But at the same time, I'm not the same person I was. I have joy. It doesn't have anything to do with material things or anything like that. It's from that.
Thank you, Father.
You know, I have joy that I've never had before.
Amen.
That is a testimony.
Hallelujah.
Joy that I've never had before. The one thing I look at in Christians is, do you have joy? Every minute of every second of every day, well, nobody has that. But you should at least have it in such a rich, deep way that you can easily get to it in one sentence. You can just easily, oh, yeah, I forgot. Jesus loves me. And that's it. Isn't that true, Janet?
Amen.
It's powerful. So you don't have to be perfect. Let Jesus be perfect for you, in you, through you. Let him do it. That's it.
Amen.
Everything's going your way.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what you see and I don't care what you think of. The bad guys are not the problem. It's the good guys that haven't ever caught on how good this good is. It's gooder than what people say. It's not just being born again. It's also going through troubles and laughing.
Amen.
And then it's also then loving others and being humble about it and say, I didn't do it. Jesus did it. Don't thank me. Thank God.
Amen.
And they will, because they know you didn't do it. They know you're not even capable of doing that. All right. I'm so glad that I have a church full of sinners who are now saints by faith alone.
Yes.
And there's actually evidence coming out every once in a while to surprise us. I can't believe you did that. Oh, man. Tim, if you ever came twice in a row in 1 month, that would be a miracle.
It would be a miracle. It'll happen.
It can't be that far.
It's not.
No, just wake up. You don't even brush your teeth. Just come right straight. All right. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday.
Happy.
Amen.
Woohoo! Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth.